two fires that have been burning for really too long. Good God. Of course, the Bobcat fire, which has gotten so much coverage this week. We'll talk to Chris Ancorlo later on. That's the one that started in the foothill communities in the San Gabriel Valley, but has also extended into danger for the Antelope Valley. He will come on later. The other fire, which got a lot of attention worldwide, is because it was started apparently by people celebrating a gender reveal with a smoke bomb.
Yes, and it started a fire near Yucaipa on the 7th of September. So we're in day 12, and the really sad news is that a firefighter died while battling the fire, and we got Steve Gregory here with the story. Steve.
Hey, guys. Yeah, this is a horrific chain of events coming out of the El Dorado fire near Yucaipa. That fire started September 5th. It's over 20,000 acres now. That was the fire that was started by a gender reveal event basically gone sideways. It was a smoke bomb that ignited some dry grass that got out of control. And at the time, we had been talking about that the family that was involved in this gender reveal stunt, there had been a little talk about what kinds of, you know, crimes they may have committed or laws or rules they may have broken. And the whole caveat to that was, well, if there's damage or you know, some sort of destruction involved or injury or death, it could rise to the level of criminality. Well, now we find out that a member of a hotshot crew had been missing yesterday and into the evening, and they had dispatched helicopters from the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department, fire helicopters, and other agencies trying to find this person. And they did finally locate the person late last night, and they have not identified this person. They've not identified what hotshot crew they were with, because a lot of times these hotshot crews come in from all over the country.
What are hotshot crews?
Now, so hotshot crews are sort of like, think of a SWAT team for wildland firefighters. They are specialized. They are dropped out into the most remote areas, and they're used to working in isolated conditions. They're not used to working with large groups. They're just these little teams that work out in the wilderness area, and they're going to go out there and they're going to do they're going to do some sort of brush mitigation, or they're going to help cut line, which is basically shoveling and making a trench.
But something really important that's
worth
the risk.
Yes, absolutely. They're like the front line. They're like the military, the Marines of the firefighters.
This person was working alone, or?
Well, here's the thing that we don't know yet, because typically these hotshot crews work in teams, but those teams kind of spread out a little bit, and they kind of do their little individual tasks. Right. And sometimes someone can sort of get, you know, lost unexpectedly. And if you've got billowing smoke coming in from any direction, it's easy to get disoriented out there. And you're talking about deep wilderness. And this is in an area of the San Bernardino National Forest, in a place called Pines Anita. I'm not personally familiar with the area, but apparently it's off Angeles Oak, Highway 38 area. It's just, it was just near, that was probably the nearest landmark. But it's an area called Pines Anita, and I'm told it's very, very rugged and very treacherous terrain in there. So, but they, again, they're not telling us the name or the position or the location or where this person was from until they can notify family.
And so they're not saying whether or not this person radioed for any kind of help or assistance.
We don't have any of those details. They're keeping it very close to the chest, and I suspect it's because he was a federal or she was a federal firefighter.
So you could get disoriented by the smoke and not
easily see
fire coming at you.
Oh, God, yeah. And the thing is they're trained. So they're trained for all these different situations and scenarios. They'll have a fire blanket with them, which is like a very specialized Mylar-looking blanket that they can crouch down into the ground and pull it over them. And it helps in most cases when flames come over them, when the fire is kind of tearing through.
Really?
Yeah. It's an amazing—
It doesn't cook them?
They'll get very hot in there, but it's designed to reflect heat away, but you have to burrow yourself down. I had to go through wildfire training in Arizona, and they made us deploy those blankets and carry those packs. And it does get intense. The Yarnell fire in Arizona a few years ago, all of those hotshot people, all the members of that hotshot crew, they all died, and they were all using the blankets because that fire was so intense and blew through there so quickly. And that's just how fast it happens. These guys they were all trained firefighters, and it even overrun them. So we're hoping to get more details. I don't know that we'll get any more this weekend. If they're waiting this long to tell us who this person is, I'm wondering if that person is from out of town or out of state.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's, and they haven't said where they found this person.
No. That was just the last place they saw him, in the Pines Anita area. They said that's kind of the last place they that is the he or she crew members remember seeing this person. So, again, I'm just thinking that because of the time it's taking to identify this person, that they're probably from another crew.
This opens up somebody in the family that set off the smoke bomb to possible, what, manslaughter?
Well, it could go a couple different ways. Now, there is a team from the San Bernardino County DA's office that has now met with, in fact, today they met with fire investigators. So I think they're going over everything now, and then the district attorney will decide what kinds of charges, if any, are going to be filed. But they did say early on that, you know, it's one thing to start the fire and nobody gets injured, killed, or no structures damaged, and at the very least, you probably would have to pay back the cost of fighting the fire, maybe. But in this particular case, now you've got a dead firefighter, probably a federal firefighter to boot. So
yeah, and there are half a dozen buildings that were either damaged or destroyed, too.
Yeah, so now, if I don't know if this will rise to the level of being a federal situation because it was on federal land, and if it was federal firefighter, it could very well be a Department of Justice case.
What will help this family is that they did try to put out the fire. They did call it in right away. They've been cooperating. It's not like they ran.
There was no intent, and there was no malicious intent. But again, you know, this is going to have. They still did it intentionally. The intention was.
It wasn't to kill people. It wasn't arson to burn buildings down.
They were negligent at the very least. But
yeah, what's the attitude among local law enforcement? The district attorney's office to something like this. Is it to bring the hammer down, to use them as an example against anybody else who does something stupid?
It could
that's
be
preventable, or is it like?
Because there was a lot of public outrage over this, if you recall.
Yeah. Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of public outrage over this. Even the person that was credited with starting the gender reveal movement, even she said, enough is enough. This is stupid. Stop it. There's public outrage, but I don't know how that's going to translate into the world of the DA's office or the legal world.
All right, Steve, thank you very much
for that
update, sad as it is, about the firefighter who died battling the gender reveal fire out there in the San Bernardino National Forest, area.
This one's going down in history. Nobody's going to forget this fire.
Oh, they've got to be feeling really awful right now. I mean, of course, it was a stupid thing, but wow, for it to cascade into this, and now we have at least one firefighter losing their life.